I haven't heard of you before.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes.
$25 bags stuffed full of grub.
These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub.
Ooh, ooh.
Onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and
hay.
Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too.
From herb soup, cheese, and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen, amen. And also March 7th, 7 p.m., the Power of Praise coming to Fresh Anointed Tabernacle Deliverance in Henderson, D.S. Will, Sosa Brown, and Nick Is, U House, Natasha, Humble, Miles B, Muna, and Jamiah. Free food, free music, and free fellowship. Beautiful people, and guess who is with me this morning? Bernadette, how are you, my sister?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am good. I am good. Blessed and highly favored. It is always great to connect with you. So you were in my state last week, right? How was your trip?
My trip was good. It was a good getaway, and you know, visiting family, and so it was good.
Good, good, good. Now you know you came at the wrong time of year, so hopefully you'll circle back when it really gets warm, right?
I know. You know, when I left Arkansas, I was thinking that I was gonna, you know, avoid all the ice and, you know, wintry mix that was coming here.
Yeah.
You know, only to get there, you know, to find that, you know, I might have brought something with me. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I actually got a message from my sister-in-law. I said, I always like to give people their shine, but she thanked my sister-in-law, Teresa. She messaged me this morning just telling me how much she appreciates you, man. So we're just glad. You have to meet the whole team, man, like Quentin and Brianna, Muna, Josh, and Kaya, man. It's just, yeah. I just hate you didn't get to meet everyone. Hopefully if you come back, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely, that's on my to-do list to, you know, get back that way and meet everybody. So
awesome, awesome.
Make that happen.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was up last night pretty late, probably about to 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I finally got a chance to watch The Forge. So many people have been telling me how good this movie is, and I don't know why I waited so long. And I know you said you hadn't seen it yet, so I'm going to try not to spoil it, but I said that when I watched it, I was going to make certain that I got on here and just endorsed the movie, because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's such a great movie about the power of prayer. And for me, there were like two perspectives. It was the angry teenager whose father wasn't in his life. And that's something that I could relate to growing up. I've shared on the show about from 12 to 24, my dad and I didn't communicate. And I was in this angry state, just really acting out, wanted to do right and really not knowing how. And so that's what resonated with me. And then the other part was this, the grown man who took it upon himself to disciple this younger young man. And it was like, that resonated with me too, just really having this lifelong experience because someone discipled to me. And so it's like, I have to give back. But I'll tell you this, I love movies like this because I do a self-reflection and it's like, man, I got a lot of work to do. I'm really like not doing everything I could be doing. You know, I've been a mentor to some in law enforcement and life in general, maybe on the end of relationships and things like that. But as far as the spiritual aspect, really like pulling someone and, cause that to me, that's the most important form of mentorship is, spreading the word of Jesus Christ and teaching them about salvation. And I'm like, I haven't done enough of that. You know, does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And it, you know, as you were speaking, it made me think about how we often have to stop and remember our why. Because we can get caught up in, you know, so many things that sometimes don't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
But it's about discipleship, you know, that we were told that to go in the Great Commission. So
the Great Commission, that's it. Amen. I loved like movies like that just remind you like, wow, that's what, like you just said, that's what it's all about. We have to do better. And I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but if you get a chance, please go check out The Forge. It is such a great movie. It's on Amazon, it's on Netflix, and I bought it off of Amazon. But yeah, so, and I can't wait to get your take on it when you check it out too.
And I've been meaning to watch it. It's just that, you know, how some things don't cross your mind until they do.
Yeah. Life happens, man.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that just got away from me. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah. Now, do you have a whole lot of streaming services that you subscribe to?
I do and I don't. So I was, you know, I saw a charge come through the other day for Disney, and it was like $23. I was like, whoa. Hold on now. I don't even watch Disney like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you know, we get these streaming services, you know, to keep to cut costs. But, you know, every time you look around, they're inching up by a dollar or two. You know, you know, you're paying $20 for six or seven different streaming services. And so it's like, we could have had cable for that matter. So
I know, right? The cable days, man. I initially thought I was saving money, but I'm pulling up now my app, man. It's just amazing, like how many. I'm 10, 12, 13. I got about 15 services, man. Ooh. I gotta do better.
Who you with?
Yeah. Huh?
Who do you have?
Hold on, let me go back. I'm gonna pull it back up. So I got DirecTV, Crackle, CBS Stream, Disney Plus, BET Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, Netflix, Paramount Plus, Peacock, Philo, Prime, Amazon Prime, Tubi. You got to have Tubi. Tubi to keep it gangster, don't you? And, and then Zumo. I don't even know how many that is now. I got some other stuff that this is the entertainment section, but those are the ones where you can watch like television shows and movies. So I don't know how many that was, but that was a lot, right?
Yeah, I lost count. See, you know, I watched, you know, I thank God for Tubi because that's how I watched the Super Bowl.
You know? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man. And, but yeah, so I do have to look. I remember it was a commercial and they were talking about how you could go in there and You because I'll be honest with you, a lot of these I don't really get to watch.
I think it's Rocket Money. I think it's Rocket Money.
Rocket Money.
Yeah, see if you can, you know, see if you can do a like a.
Oh yeah, that's what. I
think it's kind of Rocket Money when you know the commercial where the girl walks up to the people. And you can tell me how many apps or something she asks, how many I think streaming services or something you have. You know, I give you so much money, but.
That's it. I think that is Rocket Money, now that you said it. But yeah, because it'll break down like all the money you spend. And that's just the entertainment. There are a lot of other apps probably here that I'm not even utilizing and exhausting funds. Yeah, I got to do that. Yeah. Be surprised how much you save.
Yep. And I think on one part of the commercial, she said she could get the money back for him. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'll take it. I'll definitely take it, man. But I do have to do better because those things can be distractions. I could be spending more time in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More time, you know, studying, you know, seeking the face of God and saving money.
So, yes.
So it's a win-win.
Yes. And I'm not going to spoil it, but that's kind of, the Forge kind of touched on that a little. I can't wait for you to see it. I want to get your take. The other thing I didn't know, I think her name is what, Priscilla Shire?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know. I feel like out of touch right now. I didn't know that she's Tony Evans' daughter. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yep.
Wow, boy.
Yeah.
What is wrong with me?
And I think she's playing. Is this the movie where she's playing her twin or something?
Yes. Yeah. It's like a continuation to War Game.
Yeah,
War Room. War Room.
I love War Room. I love Miss Claire. And it's Miss Claire in this one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta watch it. And see, I meant to watch it when it first came out. I was actually gonna go to the theater, you know, and watch it, but something happened and it got away from me. So I'm definitely gonna.
Me too. I did the same thing. You know what it is? We don't like, they don't really advertise because of funding. You know, it's a lot of the faith-based movies don't have the financial machines really pushing them. And so if you don't really catch it when you get a glimpse of it, it's easy to continue on with your life and kind of forget about it. So, yeah. Good stuff. I know you've been extremely busy, you know, with word school and sermons and everything. So I definitely understood that you didn't get a chance to check it out. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to, you know, carve out some time and be intentional about that.
Yeah. I did want to ask you. Yeah, that's definitely a to-do list movie, but I did want to ask you about, we were talking about your sermons, and what I love about the sermon/messages, you know, and I had this conversation with my sister Deborah last night. Matter of fact, we were just talking about scriptures, and she was talking about a passage in the Bible and what it said to her. And then when you like really dig deep and understand what the message, what the biblical scholars say, hey, this is what the message is, but she was getting something totally different from it. And I was like, that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, because you can have all the Bible scholars sit at a table and dissect this, but the Holy Spirit can speak to you and it doesn't necessarily have to be what they're saying this means, because it means something to you at a different time, right? And I just really appreciate her sharing what she got from that message.
Yep, he definitely gives us what we need, you know, when we need it.
Yeah. And so, your sermon, what was your message about last Sunday? I'm all up in the business, but yeah, so what were you sharing with your congregation?
So last Sunday, it was a continuation of this Power of One sermon series that I just kind of, you know, found myself, you know, presenting. Mm-hmm. And so, because at the beginning of the year, I just thought that I was going to preach Extreme Makeover, Spiritual Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it broken down into the three pieces. But I went to this church growth seminar, conference in New Orleans. And as I was sitting through one of the presentations, I heard the Power of One. And so I wrote it down, you know, and as I came back home, I was, you know, in prayer. And so I preached the Power of One, mm-hmm. you know, that Sunday. And I talked on, you know, I preached about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And so from there, this sermon series birthed. And so it started out with the Power of One. The second installment was the Power of One Name, mm-hmm. followed by the Power of One's Availability. And that was the little boy with the two fish and five loaves of bread.
Yeah.
And then the Power of One's Tenacity. You know, I use Joseph's life as the backdrop. And then Sunday, I thought I was going to preach about the Power of Oneness, you know, preaching on unity. Mm-hmm. But God said otherwise, so I did the Power of One's Testimony. And so,
say that again, I'm sorry.
The Power of One's Testimony.
Oh, gotcha. Awesome. Yeah.
And so, you know, I led in like it was going to be a whole sermon. You know, I gave them the topic and told them, you know, to keep with the theme. And, you know, gave them scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, mm-hmm. And Revelation 12:11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I broke down what a testimony is and, you know, asked questions, you know, like, have y'all all just ever stopped and paused and thought about how you came to know Christ and, you know, how life was before Christ? And then have you ever thought about, you know, where you were when Christ found you? And, you know, have you thought about how life is different, you know, now that Christ is a part of it? And so then I just opened it up for testimony service. And so.
Wow. So I love that. I love, number one, that you were obedient. Because we can have, and I've been there, just stuck in my head, this is what I want to say. And then you get in front and it's just totally different. And I can tell you that's when I'm the most vulnerable. And sometimes we need to be vulnerable so we can solely rely on God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's mm-hmm. awesome. And so, you know, like the testimony piece, I just find it so interesting because it just, not only are you acknowledging God, but you're giving, I want to say inspiration to a degree, because I just remember a church I attended years ago, and it was this a lady who gave her testimony about being sober from crack for like 8 years. And she said she just never thought about it again. And mm-hmm. so if you hadn't been a law enforcement, I was out during the crack epidemic, and that is a powerful drug, and mm-hmm. very few people overcome that. And I've seen people like lose everything behind it. I saw attorneys now mm-hmm. who lost everything. And the only people I've ever seen, and I'm just going by my perspective, the only people I had ever seen overcome crack addiction were people who did it through salvation, through Jesus, and focusing on that. And it just, I never forgot her testimony. And it's just so, it's such a powerful thing to have people come up and share their stories, because people in the congregation could be going through that very same thing.
Yeah.
They're like inspired and knowing through God, hey, I can get through this. And the same thing I know, like parents who, there are a lot of Christians, which we're going to talk about parenting after the break. And I'm going to have my experts on that with me too. But it's just so funny because there are parents in church who struggle with their teenage kids, and they keep it close to the chest because they don't want to be viewed as an ineffective parent, a parent who's not, obedient maybe, or failures. And then there are other parents in the church going through it. So if you share that testimony, you can really uplift someone. I know I'm going long-winded, but yeah, I'm going to let you talk now. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. But as you spoke, it made me think about how relevant, you know, Revelation 12 and 11 is. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And so that's the beauty of testimony service. You know, oftentimes we're faced with these situations, and I often tell people, you know, we can, you know, even with our failed expectations, you know, we can still trust God with them. Because, you know, as parents, sometimes, you know, you always want your kids to be better than you. And you always, you know, hope for the best for them and pray for the best for them. And, you know, and sometimes kids just do what they want to do. And there's so much out there vying for their attention at such an early age. Like, I'm 32, and the stuff that, you know, these young people are faced with now, yeah. I wasn't faced with until, like, you know, maybe, you know, late teens. But, you know, you have kids who are preteens, you know, struggling with stuff that, you know, just came later in life for us. And so even in situations like that, testimonies, you know, testimonies can be life-changing. They can give hope. And, you know, if we share testimonies, it could have been somebody sitting there Sunday, you know, yeah, struggling with suicide.
Yes.
And, you know, because they heard someone else say that, hey, I've been there before, and I overcame by the grace of God, you know, you can get through it. And so I believe in testimony service.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about a suicide piece to this. Those ideations, man,
mm-hmm.
young people, like now more than ever. When I was growing up, it was very few. But now with all the pressure, social media, peer pressure, cyber stalking,
mm-hmm. cyber bullying.
I mean, it just, it goes on and on, and just people are just, I think they feel hopeless. A lot of young people, but you know what too, we were rooted in our faith a lot. It looked very, very different back then too. Like, if you think about the church and faith in general, it seems like now we're being pushed out. And you had that as an anchor, and I think that helped you get through a whole lot back then. And, like, now you just don't. I understand the separation between church and state and all of that, but, like, prayer out of school and different things like that, it just, a lot of young people aren't looking to the church like they used to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's so much out there. So many options now being presented. And, you know, but I still believe that Proverbs 22:6, mm-hmm. you know, train up a child in the way they should go.
Yes.
So that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, you know, they may take a detour. You know, they may venture off for a bit. But you always come back. You always come back to what you know. And that's the word of God. You know that God is real. You know, there are situations that, you know, we sometimes find ourselves in. And we know then that if it had not been, you know, for the Lord on our side, where would we be? You know, even with parenting, I know I don't have kids yet. I don't have my own children, but I have, you know, 7 godchildren. And then there are other, you know, young people that I love, you know, and if kids are ever in my presence or in my care, I'm going to treat them like I would treat my own. And so I imagine that it could be hard. It can be hard, you know, just relinquishing that control and letting your child grow up, you know, and not holding the reins so tight. But like I told my mama, you know, if y'all train this up, then there comes a point where you have to put the, you know, the teaching and the training to test. And you just have to entrust your children to God. And
I love that. I love, well, first, I love that you said not yet. I love that, the power in claiming it. So, but yeah, you're right. And we do forget that sometimes as parents that, you know, our focus, our mission is to prepare them for life, but for life as a Christian, and understanding that Jesus is first and everything else is next. And when we push that and indoctrinate that in them, then we should not worry. And it's easy to say. It's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they do come back home. And I've actually shared that with a few of my friends who are young parents now. They do. So yeah, that's good stuff. I yeah, always appreciate your insight and wisdom on that.
Yep. And, you know, that's the beauty of testimonies, you know. Yes. I think about the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how he, you know, even before his dad died, you know, he told him, give me my portion, when in fact he didn't have a portion in the first place.
Yeah.
But, you know, his dad gave it to him, and he went out and he lived life high on the hog. You know, he did what he thought he was big enough and bad enough to do. And, you know, he had his money and he had the friends. And when the money ran low and ran out, you know, the friends ran out of his life too.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I love what it says when he found himself, you know, in that pig pen, you know, the lowest, you know, the lowest place he could be. It says he came to himself,
yes,
you know, and when he came to himself, he found his way back home. And I love what the father did. You know, yeah, he just embraced him. You know, he didn't ridicule him or scold him, you know, but he embraced him. You know, he saw him from a distance, and he said he ran to meet him, and he embraced him and kissed him on the neck. And so I just, and that's how God is with us.
Yes.
So I believe that's how testimonies work too. You know, so
I love that, that unconditional love, and that's mm-hmm, what we should demonstrate, you know. And it's, I can tell you, it wasn't until I became a parent where, in which that was the time when I really understood what unconditional love meant. Like, I thought I did, but when you see the birth of your child, and I'm going to tell you, the moment he came into this world, it was like, it was just overpowering change over me. And it is true, no matter what, you're going to love your children and be just as excited. That's what part of the story I love. Well, I like, I'm enlightened by the fact it took him to be in this miserable place to see the light. But I'm like, my favorite part of the story is how the father welcomed his son when he came back home. It was just this great celebration. And that's how God is with us. It's a, and man, I'm about to say something else about the Forge again, but it just reminded me, watching that movie too, like how excited we should be when we have another brother and sister in Christ. Someone has really found God, and now they have salvation. It's
yeah,
a big celebration. And, you know, I was just thinking about that and watching the movie last night. Like, we don't celebrate it enough. And now we're going full circle. We're talking about the prodigal son and all of this. But yeah, I love that part of the story, how this celebratory event is taking place because his son comes home. It's yeah, great.
And like you said, you know, the celebration part, you know, the Bible even talks about, you know, when one comes to Christ, you know, how the angels in heaven rejoice.
Yes.
And so, you know, we rejoice. And, you know, even when we hear testimonies, you know, it's cause to rejoice, because to hear somebody say, you know, I was stuck in this, you know, I was bound in sin, you know, but Jesus brought me out it's cause for, you know, for celebration. It's a reason to rejoice, you know. And I love the transformative theme in testimonies, you know.
Yeah.
I was this, but now because of the grace of God, I'm this, you know. I don't look like what I've been through. And, you know, but going back to what you said about the battle with the crack and how it can, you know, it destroys lives, but, you know, it's not stronger than God, than Christ, and, yeah, and how he can raise you up out of it. And, you know,
man, that's deep. And so we're about to close, but man, I was just sitting here as you were talking, like, how did we do that just now? Cause we just, this was totally organic. It wasn't scripted. And we went from the Forge to your sermon and giving testimony to parenting, prodigal son. And we linked all this together, man. That's a drop the mic moment right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. I like
that.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Do you have any final thoughts before we close out?
I just pray that this episode will be a blessing, you know, to so many parents, because I'm sure that parents, you know, are faced with so many things that, you know, others, you know, sometimes just don't think about. You know, you have single parents and you have married single parents, and then you have, you know, parents raising their kids in a two-parent household, but, you know, there's still struggles. And so I just pray that, you know, this episode will be a blessing, and, you know, and not just today or tomorrow, but, you know, for generations to come, that they'll be encouraged. And, you know,
man, I love it, and I can't thank you enough. Always bringing it to the table, Bernadette. We appreciate you. And when we come back, y'all, we're going to talk about parenting. See you soon.
Listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM50 will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Beautiful people, we are back. And so listen, I can tell you this as a father. It can be challenging, but I will also say firsthand that parenting is such a wonderful gift. And before my sons, I thought I understood the definition of unconditional love. And with them, now I can truly say I understand what it means. And again, children are truly a gift from God. And today is the day we tackle this subject as best as we can. And one thing we all, I think, will agree on is that most of us, as God-fearing parents, we do the best we can based on what we know, right? And there are advantages when it comes to using the Bible as a guide. And that's what we're going to talk about as believers, as Christians. There's a need to teach our children about the principles of Jesus and also practice what we preach. And so we're going to just get right to it. Joining me today, my trusted circle, Reverend Tiffany Sneed, Pastor Carla Holland, and Teresa Tyler. Ladies, how are you?
Amen. It's good, good to be here. Yeah. It's good to be here. Happy Friday. We made
happy
it.
Happy Friday, yes. Yeah.
Thank y'all so much for joining me. So, I can't thank you enough. I will get right to it because time is valuable. So I just want to start it off right and do what we always do on the show, and that's spotlight the positive. So I'll ask the parents in the room to share something special about their child or children. And I'll start with you, Pastor Holland.
Oh my gosh. So I'm a mother of adult men, adult men now. And so I think 28, 24 and 23, I always have to like go down. I love my children. I did want a girl. I ain't going to I didn't want a girl. I did want a girl, but I love having being a boy mom, as they call us, boy mom. It was exciting to see them excel and travel sports, to get to participate with them and different things like that. But I also loved being a mama bear. Being a mother, I think, has been one of the best gifts that the Lord has given me, to be able to mother children, to mother sons in particular, because I know the struggles that they face, you know, coming out to this world, especially as young African-American men. Mm-hmm. I love my children, and they are all different, all different. I can recall having some moments where my child used scripture against me with a Wii game. So we playing a Wii game, and he trying to beat me. He's like, I can do all things. And I'm like, hey, I didn't do that to beat me in this game. Okay.
Yeah.
I do that. And then also, you know, with one of our other sons, you know, just teaching him patience, because he really wanted to just do things on his own. He didn't want any help. He didn't want any assistance, but he wanted to do things in a rush, in a rush, in a rush. So just being able to help him navigate through patience. But I just awesomely like to say that I'm just so thankful that God allowed me to be the mother of sons. Even though I wanted a girl, I'm glad he trusted me to be a mother of sons, and that he continues to bless me to continue to rear them. Because, you know, just because they're grown don't mean they don't need you anymore.
Amen.
So, to, you know, give me the wisdom to help continue to rear them as they start their own families.
Wow. Well said. Thank you, Pastor. Reverend Sneed.
I, too, am the mother of sons. One of my friends actually called it raising nations. One of her brothers says, that. How are the nations doing? And I have held on to that because as the leaders of the households that they will be, leaders of nations, leaders of community, it's more than just raising my child. They're going to have an influence beyond what happens within our family, prayerfully within our even blocks, all the things, right? Mm-hmm. So I am very sensitive on making sure that whatever God has instilled in them, that I'm partnering with him, trying to lay the foundation that he can build upon, that my stuff that I'm still working through personally with my own parental relationships, right, is not interfering with our relationship. And I have become very cognizant of the fact, didn't really get this growing up, don't know why. Well, yes, I do know why. But cognizant of the fact that their first understanding of what their godly relationship is like, they get that from my husband and I as parents, right? Mm-hmm. So we have really tried to work hard to create an environment where they feel seen and where they feel heard and where they feel accepted and loved. And I think as a result of that, they have blossomed into, even with my youngest, who will just be 7 in April, and my oldest, who's 16, they have blossomed into people who are unapologetically themselves. They don't try to follow a group. They don't try to really follow. They're not just going to blindly follow anyone if it doesn't line up with what they know to be right, with what their teaching is. And they will question us about things that we say. That's not what we talked about, though. You said X, Y, Z. And they expect you to follow through with what you said. They expect you to be a promise keeper. They expect you to be faithful in the things that you have spoken. And again, recognizing that I'm that first real connection they get with what the godly relationship is. I've got to make sure I am modeling that to the best of my ability and trusting God to shore up the areas where I may fall short so it doesn't hinder their relationship with him. And I love the fact that my youngest, he is so resilient. His name is Mason. And yeah. So we've spoken strength over him since he was born, and he has needed that strength because the enemy has already tried to take him out, not once, but twice. When I say take him out, he was at death's door twice. And my oldest, he is so, you know how the old folks say, he's been here before. He's been here before. The wisdom that he has just astounds me. And he listens when I don't think he's listening. When I don't know if I'm getting through and I feel like he's shut down, he lets me know, no, mommy, I heard you. Recently, we had an interaction with a person on the street that it was no other way to say it. It was just straight out evil that came out of this woman. And we spoke about spiritual attacks. We spoke about the fact that we don't let what's in the world define us. We don't let our circumstances define us. And we always keep, we use Nehemiah, as we are doing our work, as we are going through our assignments, we keep doing the work, but we keep our sword in one hand when those things come to attack.
Yeah.
And when that baby blessed my heart the next day and wrote in his newsletter for church about that experience and then used the scripture to back it up, I said, okay, God, I see you. I see you. So I'm not even sure I responded to your question at this point, AZ.
You did.
Pastor Holland, I love, love, love the gift of being their mother.
Amen.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Ms. Tyler.
Yes, that was good. That was good. And let me be the first to say I am a girl mom.
The only one.
Listen, only one. But first off, y'all look amazing. Okay. Y'all look amazing. Like when you said boys and then just looking at y'all, I'm like, I feel like I'm aging, but y'all look amazing. Let me just say that hats off to y'all. Y'all look amazing. Okay. I don't know what y'all doing with the skin. I don't know what it is, but y'all look amazing. But yes, I have a daughter. I have one. She's 10 years old. She's in the fourth grade. I tell people all the time, I am so honored to say I am a mother because everybody do not have the honor to say so, or they're trying and it can be incredibly hard. But I do say all the time that it is a very rewarding and it's honors to have, but it's also challenging. I can share that my daughter, she's changed my life. Like someone said earlier, that unconditional love, it, you know, is so forgiving, and there's so many things they don't hold on to. And I think for me, I think you said it earlier, Pastor Tiffany, trying to navigate in things that you didn't have growing up, and now you're trying to navigate in those different seasons of things you didn't have, like, you know, regulating your emotions, finding your light, walking in your identity, because we're literally in a world where our kids are really following the world. And if you do not, because I truly believe everything starts at home, then they're going to be misguided when they go out. But I can say that my child is very smart. She's very bold. I can say, you know, she don't listen to me sometimes, so we're getting there. We're praying. I say very bold, very bold. I can say that as she's getting older, she's finding her light and finding her identity. And that's something I've been praying about all the time, because I really want her to realize who she is, that she's set apart, that it's okay to be different. You know, it's okay to be in these honors classes. It's okay just to be set apart and be different. And to also treat others like you wanted to be treated. Trying to remind her of being grateful, right? Some things it's a privilege and luxury to have. And I think that sometimes the kids miss that. And it can be the smallest things, but it's luxury. And I also just love how she always goes our way to help people and others. And I think she gets that to me. I also feel like it can be a pro and a con, advantage and disadvantage. So we talk about things of that. But it's just the quality of everything that she's doing that really inspires me to keep going. So that's, I deeply admire and cherish about her.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And I think it's obligatory that I say something because I don't want my wife or my sons like, oh, you didn't say anything about us. So I'll just.
I gotta go home tonight.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I'll just say that it has been an adventure with both. I have two sons. So always wanted a daughter too, but God knew that I probably wouldn't be able to handle that. No one would be come near my daughter. So, but they have always kept me on my toes. They challenged me. I have to be better because of them. They made me better. I love their loving spirits. Both of them have hearts of gold. They will give you the shirt off their backs. And they're generals. Both of them are leaders in their own right. So I think Tiffany mentioned resilient, and both of them are, I will definitely say that, and they're courageous. So I just had to put that out there. But thank you all. Those are great answers. And now the next question, we always hear that African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. How important is community when it comes to raising your child? And do you have that support mechanism? And I'll start with you, Reverend Sneed.
I don't know you're going to come to me. Okay. I'm going to try not to be too long on this. I think community is important, but it's got to be the right community.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have your children in a toxic community, you can spend more time undoing everything that we have been trying to do, working against you, working against the plan that God has for them. Yeah. And I've actually had to experience that with both of my boys in different settings. Mm-hmm. Thought I had both of them in good schools where they would be nurtured, getting the best of opportunities. And with my oldest son, he overheard one of his teachers saying to him, I don't know if he's going to be smart enough to go to the next level. I don't know if he's going to be able to process this math. And everything, I grew up a perfectionist for a whole nother set of reasons that you don't have time for on this show. So I was very adamant that I gave him space to grow, room to fail, all the things, right? And he turned into a perfectionist anyway, because he spent his life's work thus far trying to prove that lady wrong. He defined himself by what she said and has pressed into pushing himself really and sometimes unhealthy ways and not asking for help, because if I can do it on my own, I'm proving that I'm smart enough. So in that way, community again really hurt him. There were some things that he really enjoyed doing. Mm-hmm. He had an interest in golf when he was younger. He had an interest in doing some other things, but he had some people speak some things into him and over him, and he completely disengaged. He's very sensitive in that manner and still remembers it to this day. And it's been 10 and 15 years and some of those things have been said. So I am thankful for our church community. Yeah. That has poured into him, that has nurtured him, that has seen him, that has pulled him out of his comfort zones and pushed him into areas and doing things that he never would have done. He had no desire whatsoever to do a newsletter. It has been the most cathartic thing for him to do. And he learned that he's actually a writer. That baby just published a children's book, and he never would have done any of that but for the fact that he had some people pouring into him and seeing him. And with my youngest son, similar situation, coming back out of COVID, they put him into a new classroom, new teachers, new expectations, and the baby was three, and they couldn't understand why he couldn't focus. They couldn't understand why all their strict parameters around him was forcing him to be more aggressive. Said my baby was the most violent child they had ever seen. Fast forward 5 years later, 4 years later, in a nurturing environment where he is seen, where he is heard, where he feels validated. He's singing in our church choir. He's reading, read his brother's book for the first time. This year he wouldn't do any of that. And he is the most loving and exuberant person you ever want to meet. And it was the community that made the difference for both of them, but not the communities that you would have expected. So I think as parents, we have to be careful that we safeguard our baby's hearts, our baby's minds, by not just taking for granted that just because this person's related to them, they're mm-hmm. safe in this space. This person is there to teach them, they're safe in this space. The devil is a liar. He is strategic, he is subtle, and he knows where to attack. And we've got to be vigilant protecting our children and where the communities that we place them in.
Amen. Amen. As you were saying that, I was thinking about my oldest son, and it was a teacher that we embraced when he was in elementary school. We trusted her, and she did the I got him, I got y'all routine. And years later, he did this report on his worst time in school, and it just shocked us reading it, because that same teacher, when he would turn in a paper, what he wrote in this report, that she would ball up the paper, throw it at him, and say, "You're stupid." And we really befriended this person, thought this person was someone who had our son's best interest at heart. So what you said is so spot on. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Ms. Tyler.
Yes. I just want to go and also say that a community is very vital. I think it's very essential in raising a child. I do agree. It provides support. I feel like it provides shared values and a sense of belonging. Like you stated, as the saying goes, it really takes a village to raise a child. Yeah. It's really hard to do it alone. So I think when I say my prayers, I really count and thank God daily for my village. My community consists of family. That doesn't mean they're always blood. Friends, church, my coworkers. I am grateful that God continues to show that they love me, but they all also love my child. And I think that's very important for people to see, especially when you're in these environments and you see who you're around. And not only they're asking about you, but they're checking on your child. They're also seeing what you need. And so I'm a single parent. So I'm like, this makes sense. And then when I founded Power in 2018, I did it because my mom had me at 16. I realized that there are a lot of family and friends and even some people that I knew from the church that did not have a village. And we had to lean on each other. And that's sometimes how you create family for others. And so
listen up. Are you ready? Are you ready to play a role in changing the narrative for our Black and Brown communities? There is no better time than now for us to learn, change, uplift our communities, and forever improve our encounters with law enforcement. There will be two, that's right, two Know Your Rights workshops on March 15th. Both workshops are being sponsored by the one and only John Blakely of J Speaks. UM50 will conduct both workshops on how to safely interact with police and safely get home. Thomas Mentoring Leadership Academy is hosting the first workshop, which will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Durham Nativity School in Durham. This is located at 1004 North Mangum Street. The second Know Your Rights workshop will be hosted by Alexandra Valladares de Comunidad de Durham at Recity Network at 112 Broadway Street in Durham from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss this. See you there.
Cabbage and collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herb soup, cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmers Hub.
But what I was saying was, I think I truly feel that being a part of community really helps children learn different experiences, you know, from different persons, I mean, from different people. But as Pastor Tiffany said, we just got to also be mindful who's in our community, what influence they have. You all believe in the same values, right? And you're in there continue to help your child thrive.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Holland.
I mean, I agree with all the sentiments that these ladies have said, because I can identify with, you know, having our children in school, them being, you know, African-American males, which in my family, in that small town that I grew up in, the male children were always targeted. So they had this thing of failing the first grade. So in the community, they would never make it past the first grade. They would always have to repeat it. And so that was something that me and my husband kind of took with us when we moved to this area, of how we were going to assimilate this type of community that we had back in that small town, so that way we could make sure that our children would thrive with their education, but also in the community as well. So it's essential to make sure that you have people strategically placed, because not everyone is going to be an advocate for your child. Mm-hmm. And you cannot assume that because they have a teacher title that that's what they're going to do. I experienced multiple moments with our kids where I had to go to the school and say, you know, listen, I understand that my son may have, his penmanship might not be the best, but when you write sloppy in all caps, red pen across his paper, he's not going to feel like he's meeting the standard.
Yeah.
You've got to be mindful. And so what I also noticed is that the more of an advocate I was for them, the more threatened some of the teachers felt. So it's just a matter of making sure that you partner with the right people. So they do not see your concern as aggression, but passion for the success of your child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all it is. It's passion for the success of your child. It's not aggression by any means. What you're not accustomed to is seeing a strong person come to you and say, listen, I'm going to need for you to do your job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Having people who are versed in the education system, versed in different extracurricular activities in our community, having those people who are versed in these areas to kind of advise you and counsel you, so that way you can put your child in the best position to succeed. The worst thing that I think me and my husband, we talk about it, we wish we were, you know, were saved when we first started having children, but we were not. But we thank God saved us at the right time, because as our children were, you know, matriculating into elementary school and going higher into middle school, he saved us just at the right time. So that way we could then now put this structure of community in their lives as well. So I think God's timing is divine. I think his partnerships that he puts in our divine, and when he's speaking to have you join with certain people and detach from others, you need to listen, because it does impact your children.
Wow.
Beautiful. And that advocacy piece is so vital.
So vital.
And I cringe when I think about the fact that everyone doesn't have the capacity or the means to advocate for their babies the way that the three of us obviously can. And I saw that when my baby was in the hospital and I was asking questions and had a whole slew of specialists, and people were not even in the room talking to each other. And one woman had the audacity to ask me, are you a doctor? I said, no, I'm a mother. She said, well, you seem to know what's going on. I said, I have to know what's going on. That's my baby. And I need y'all to get in the room and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's the advocacy piece too that goes apart. We can't delegate the role to other people. We hope that they're going to do their job, but Pastor Colin says, we got to hold them accountable for doing their part.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to mother, but I sure do expect you to do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing in my baby's life.
Amen.
And some people don't understand what accountability, what that actually means, and the action behind it.
Yeah.
And so I love how you said, Pastor Carla, that they see it as aggression, especially from African American, and you know, bold Black women, uh-huh. they don't see it as I'm just being passionate. I'm showing up. You're saying that I need to be more present. You're saying that I need to be more active. I'm here. But then you said I'm aggressive.
Yes.
So I love that. I love that because I'm telling you. I love it.
I mean, I had a teacher slide, like we're in this parent teacher conference, and I'll never forget because I was my mother's child at that moment. And I wrote a letter, and my letter was very clear, and I documented everything. And this lady slides the piece of paper to the principal. Well, when you write letters like this, it makes me seem like, make you feel like you don't like me. I said, our relationship has nothing to do with whether I have an affinity for you. This is not about, this is about the success of my child. Yeah. And it shouldn't be taken as anything other than that. And you know what? I can only look back in that moment and know that it was God standing up on the inside of me because I was way too young to really advocate for my child the way that I did. So it's like when God raises you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raise your children. You got to give them credit because that him in that moment. That was him in that moment.
Yeah.
I was super young. My son was in the second grade and she would just like kept just like bird dogging him. I'm like, listen, at this moment, this is what I need to do. And I outlined everything that was happening. And then she called it dislike. And I was like, no, my affinity for you is not the topic of discussion. The success of my child's education is. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry that you feel this way, but if we can get back to how we're going to get back, him back on track, I'm good to go. And let's move on for the conversation. The principal and then have nothing else to say. He just put the note away. I was like, yes, please put that note away because it's time to move on.
Oh, I love these answers. And I love how God works because, you know, I started off talking about community and you all talked about advocacy, and that is just so important. And I really didn't have much to say on that because at first I'm thinking, hey, that's a different subject, but this is very important because our kids, we trust our children with these teachers, and not saying that they have bad intentions, but I do say that they can get caught up in putting us in boxes, right? And not really getting to know certain students as individuals. And that's important because when you don't put the human factor on the students, then it's easy to say, you know, little Johnny is a problem child and put him in a corner, or this person's a troublemaker, and constantly tell the parents, hey, I can't do anything with your child, but are you connecting with them? Are you getting to know them? Because that's part of community too, right? As an educator. So thank you all for, and so the next question, you all kind of touched on it. When we talk about parenting, what are our priorities? Like what's important? And I'll start with you, Teresa.
I think right now, with so many things that's going on in the world and what I do, of course, with the new administration and just everything going on, my number one priority is making sure that I ensure that my well-being and my child well-being is where it needs to be. Yeah. This means, you know, physical health, emotional stability, but spiritual growth. Yeah. You know, making sure that I'm teaching my daughter the importance of praying. Pause, pray, and proceed is something I have all over my house and also at work. But just making sure that I feel like as a parent or just parents in general, as a single mom, I'm constantly on the go, right? And I feel like as a single mom or just as a mother, I can't thrive if I'm tired. So making sure that I take my rest when God said, take your rest. Because if you don't rest, he'll shut you down so you will obey and just rest. Mm-hmm. And so I have been on the go so much that one day that I had to just lay there in bed because I was literally tired. Mom guilt didn't come over. My daughter is old enough to get her own food. She knows where everything is at. For a couple of hours, I just really need to rest. I need to unplug. And what I realized as moms, we're constantly on the go. I feel like I'll go for my kid off to every activity. Now, I'm going to complain a little bit about me signing her up for everything. And I have to drive around. Yes, but she loves what she's doing. And I didn't have the opportunity to have a choice growing up. Is this is what you're doing, whether you like it or not. And that's it. But I want to be able to give my daughter the opportunity to say, hey, here's what I want to do. But my job is to make sure I also give her an option. And we talk about, you know, here's what's on mommy's plate and here's what's on your plate, right? Because yeah. she's still young and I don't want her to experience burnout because these kids mentally are burnt out.
Yeah, they are.
And I feel like they are too young to experience that already. And so for me, my goal is to make sure that while although I might, you know, fill other people's cups up, I can't pour for an empty cup. Yeah. And when I can't pour for an empty cup, I can't be the best mom that I can be, right? I can't thrive. I can't help her. I can't help navigate her emotions and navigate my emotions or things I'm going to. So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm making sure that both of our well-beings are where they're at. And that really comes with making sure that I'm taking care of myself first, making sure that, you know, like you all said, I'm advocating for her, making sure she's seen and heard. We're having these hard, honest conversations. Right. Because I think all of that stuff matters as we continue to raise our little ones.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Carla.
Man, I think because I'm parenting adult children now, the priority has shifted and changed as they have grown. Right. So, you know, when I first started parenting, not really having the Lord as the center, you know, my concern was making sure they look nice in school. Mm-hmm. That they will be worthy of good treatment. That's how I was brought up, that if you present your children nicely, that they will get the proper treatment, right? Yeah. So, but as I evolved and then grew in my relationship with the Lord, it was really about covering them, right? Covering them in prayer, exposing them to prayer, exposing them to me having a relationship with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
They needed to see me have a relationship with God so they know how to go to the Lord in prayer, go to my Bible when there's times of trouble. And now I see it evolving more now as that they're adults, because I'm really trying to make sure that they're grounded not only just in the Word of God and that they're using it, the Bible, as an actionable tool, but also building generational wealth, yeah. right? Transferring that knowledge to them so that way it becomes wisdom for them. Okay. Transferring this knowledge so that they can walk in wisdom. And I believe that's all a part of God's plan as we have these families designed to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
My sister mentioned this current administration. We are training our sons. Listen, we need to be able to acquire our own wealth. And this is how we do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. And you should break it down so that way they don't have to be subject to any type of predatory lending, any type of predatory practices, because it's still out there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if we walk in the wisdom of God, we transfer that knowledge to them. So that way they know how to navigate through administrations like this. So my priorities have shifted and changed as they have grown. Now, do I still want them to look nice when they go out? Because they're going to think I can't abandon my roots. So, yes, please don't be out here in these streets shaming your mama. You're going to be somebody's husband. If I like you, somebody's husband out here in these streets. That's not what it still has evolved so that way they can walk in godly wisdom as they are acquiring their own wealth and building their own families.
Amen. Amen. My brain went immediately to, don't be playing out there in your church clothes and getting them. Oh, that's the first thing popped in my head. Tiffany.
Everything that they said and double, especially the rest piece and one from the empty sister. And I'm like, oh my God, she's my sister from another mother. I appreciate it all the time. Said it last night on a call talking to some people. But I also want to make sure that they understand whose they are and who they are in Christ. And I think so much of what we face right now, especially as women, is that our image of ourselves is distorted.
Yes.
On ourselves by everybody else's standard, but the right standard. There's only one standard. We were all created in the image of God. But Amen. Because that image is distorted and our image of God is distorted, we see, like Paul said, through a glass dimly. So since we can't see ourselves, we don't know ourselves, and we live beneath who we were created to be, and all the things that God has bestowed in us never come to fruition because it's on a bad foundation. So I try to make sure that my children are not defining themselves by what other people say, what other people see, what they have tried to put. We reject gifts. We reject gifts of insecurity. We reject gifts of less than, reject gifts of fear, reject gifts of not good enough. That's not who we are. We are chosen. We are accepted. We are called. We are appointed. We are anointed. And we will walk in the path that God has prepared for us. And our job is simply to look to God for the instructions and to trust that he's going to open the doors that need to be opened. My baby is so stressed right now because he is a second semester junior. He has met with the college guidance counselor that says, you got decent grades. And he has heard all these other teachers that say, well, I don't know if you're going to get into that college. You know, affirmative action is gone and da da da. And I say to him daily, who's God? Who do we serve? Who do we serve? You are the child of the Most High. And whatever door God wants to open for you, that's the door that he will open. And when my baby comes in saying, Mommy, it was an awful day. Sweet boy, what made it awful? Such and such said, I said, we don't believe what such and such said.
That's right.
That's not who we are. That's not how we define ourselves. And I even have to check my family because we have a legacy of receiving gifts that were never intended for us. And we have defined ourselves by those things. And they try to project that generationally. I'm trying to break generational curses.
Say that.
We can't. I can't. That's not the legacy. We're leaving this way. And if that means I have to create healthy boundaries or you don't get to go hang out with whoever and whoever this month, you can't do that because I can't have you planting seed where I'm trying to weeds, where I'm trying to plant roses. So I want them to know who they are. And if they know who they are and they know whose they are, they can change this world.
Amen.
And I like all your answers were spot on. Carla said two things that I thought about. The first was, I think you said when y'all were young, as young parents, you weren't saved at the time. Is that what you said?
That's right.
Yeah. And so we were, but the fallacy was different. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. And so now if you were to ask me, I would say the priority is definitely putting God first, not being ashamed to talk about his salvation and really trusting in him. We were saved, as I said, but I think I could have done a better job of demonstrating my intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think what happened, I think Tiffany said this before we start recording, every child is different. And so what got me to God was the fact that my mother didn't push me in that direction. She let me go on my own. And that was a practice I thought, hey, well, maybe I'll do this same thing with my sons, where I should have been a little more involved in that. And we went to church. Yeah, we read the Bible, but not as regular as we should. We prayed, but we should have been praying outside of going to bed and eating meals. You know, we should just. And I go to Judges, right? You see this generation that they knew God, but they really didn't know God. They weren't intimate with God like the previous generation, right? And so it said, what does the Bible say? They adopted wicked ways, even though they knew. And so if you're not heavily involved, if you're not teaching them about Christ, that light for him gets dimmer and dimmer.
Yes.
So if I if I, my priorities now would be to really embrace and adopt that, that intimate relationship with God. They would really see more of that. And so, like now every morning I'm texting, you know, scriptures to the family, but those are things that I should have been doing years ago. Yeah. So, but so, thank you again for those answers. We're going to flip it a little now. So I want to talk about defiance. Like, we all know of a child being defiant to his or her parents.
Not our children.
You know, they test boundaries, they rebel. What'd you say, Tim?
I said, not our children.
Well, we're born into sin, right? but how do you manage those emotions? Like, what would be the first course of action? What do you say, Carla?
Oh my gosh. So we went through it. I mean, Lord, we went through it. And I think it's because, you know, our male children, they had to test those boundaries. They're breaking out. They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to establish their own manhood. And so I think testing those boundaries with us was a wake up call for us to say, you know what? You really need to be steadfast in your word, a deep relationship with me. So their rebelliousness caused me to lean on God like I've never leaned on God before. Because it's not like when I was younger, if you made me mad, I quit you. Like, I quit you. We done.
Yeah.
Right. But these are my children. And so I can't quit them. I can't stop showing up for them because they are in this state. So really activating that unconditional love really showed me that I was capable of unconditional love. Before my children, I didn't know I was capable of unconditional love. It also, dealing with their rebellious state, you know, going through that middle school period, it allowed me to really see what my mother was saying. Like, maybe she did know she was talking about a little bit. So it just caused me to really draw strength from God, lean into what I had been taught.
Yeah.
And also show me that the only way to eradicate their rebellion was to continue to love them unconditionally and challenge that rebellion until it had to come under subjection to the word of God. Right?
Yeah.
Love does conquer all, and rebellion is one of those things that love conquers. But are we accepting that challenge? Mm-hmm. Are we showing up for that challenge, equipped with the love to make sure that it gets canceled out?
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Tiffany.
Yeah, I'm a fixer by nature. So I don't like putting band-aids on things, right? Yeah. And so when I see things like rebellion showing out, acting out, as my grandmother used to call it, that's a symptom for me. So I want to understand what's behind the symptom. When I grew up, it was a household, because this is what they received, right? Children were to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
You do not question. You do not open your mouth. That's all the things, right? And I remember a beating I got just because I turned too quick. So and after you got the beating and the lecture with the beating, then for my house, there was just this silence. And there was these periods of just, you could have heard a pin drop throughout the house because there was disappointment. You didn't meet the standard. You didn't adhere to what you had been taught. You know better than that. That's not what we do. So that was how I grew up. And so I grew up under a blanket of shame. I grew up under a blanket of guilt. And no matter how much and how hard I tried to do the right, I was Paul, right? I was a wretched, tormented man, but God. So I didn't want that for my children, but they have a way of testing you, right? So I would, especially with my youngest. My oldest was not.
Hey, check out part two this Wednesday.